there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Starts it championship week. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. In a world where fantasy championships hang in the balance, only two analysts can help you get to the top of the mountain. There can be only one person who could possibly win the fantasy championship, and it should be you. Just like in the Highlander, there can be only one, and therefore, we are going to slay our opponents today with the most important start-sit show of your lifetime, or at least of 2022. It's me, Joey P, Joe Pizapia, and to help me do it are the Kingslayers themselves. It's Andrew Erickson, Mr. Big Pod Energy, Mr. TikTok Rockstar, and of course, D-Bro Derek Brown, the King of Bros, the Fantasy Bro. And we're all here today to help you win that fantasy championship. You did it. You got here. Congratulations. For those of you who made the playoffs, congratulations to you too. Even if you didn't win the fantasy championship, it's about getting to the dance. You got to the dance. It's a successful year, but we've got one more round to go, and these two gentlemen are going to help us break down the players to get in your lineups, the players to dig out, and there are a lot of moving parts, which brings me to the bigger picture question. We extended the NFL season by a week. Should we still be playing our fantasy championships in week 17? Because as we've seen already, once we get to week 17, lots of wacky things are happening. Forget week 18. You're just a glutton for punishment then. But Erickson, you think we should go back to what we used to do, which is we wrap up fantasy championships in week 16? Or do you think, no, you play to the second to last week of the season regardless? I'm just curious. I want to get your take on that real quick.
No, I think that we should go back to week 16 being championship week. You know, the thing with it, the issue is that if week 14 is still going to have bye weeks, like that is really the
right,
big
that's
issue
the problem.
Here. So
right.
You either need to condense the playoff format into there's only 2 weeks of playoffs and there's less teams that make the playoffs in your fantasy league. If there is not, can we get Goodell online? Like, hey, like, let's get rid of these week 14 bye weeks. It's destroying fantasy football. Like, what's going on here? But the fact that
all Roger Goodell,
the fact that we have people showing up to the dance and where's my date? Derrick Henry. Like, where's my date? Like Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs. Like, where's my date? Like, I'm at the dance and I don't have a date anymore. So it's super frustrating, especially because those guys were part of so many league winning teams that got you this far, that were number one seeds, that are now just devastated. Now you're like relying on Hassan Haskins to save your team because you can't play Derrick Henry because they're saving him for next week when the fantasy season is over. So I think that I would like to move back to week 16, but if the week 14 bye weeks don't go away, that is still problematic and you'd have to be a two playoff week format. So a lot of rolling pieces though.
Yeah. See, that was what kind of stuck in my craw too, is that week 14 bye, because you can't have that for the playoffs. It's just not fair to everybody else. D-Bro, you kind of echo the same sentiments because I see you kind of nodding along here. It's kind of a weird situation. I never would have thought it would be an issue, but here we are and we're already getting to an issue where teams are already starting to look ahead for 2023, even earlier than normal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree any here, guys. I mean, I think we should kick it forward 1 week. I mean, we've got teams that are looking forward towards, like, well, we don't even want to pay our quarterbacks. We don't even care about winning games. We've magically gone from playoff contention to 2022 doesn't even matter anymore in the span of 1 to 2 weeks. So, yeah, I'm totally in agreement here.
All right, so week 17 is going to have to be for better or worse, and there's a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Let's start with the RBs. Give us the RBs we want to get in our lines for championship week. D-Bro, kick us off.
Start or sit?
First guy on top of the list, and I faded him last week because he was going up against a really good run defense, and guess what? The Carolina Panthers said, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's not a question of if we will run. It's a question of will we succeed at running? With Carolina being Chicago's salve, Deontay Foreman has got to be higher in my ranks. He's RB23, ECR is at RB26, and this all comes down to volume, and we know that Carolina is going to run the ball, as well as the fact that the Bucs, since week 10 or 11, they're 22nd in rushing yards per game, 27th in explosive run rate, and they're 19th in fantasy points per game allowed to running back. So we've seen the show before, guys. And yes, for everybody out there watching the YouTube, yes, I talked about not playing Deontay Foreman against the Buccaneers and the Panthers backs back then. I get it. I'm off that train. I'm with you now. 20-plus touch Deontay Foreman. Let's go.
All right, so Foreman is in. Who's next on the list? And this next guy had a pretty big week 16.
I mean, people must be new to the show. They must be new to the primer, because I've been talking about this guy has been running well for multiple weeks. And now finally, guys, it showed up in the box score, and that's Cam Akers. RB16, ECR is finally with me as a top 24 running back. And yes, I saw your YouTube comments a few weeks ago about him not being a top 24 running back and such. Where are you at now? Where are you at now? Considering Cam Akers has been crushing it. You look back all the way to week 10, Cam Akers since that time, 22nd in yards of contact per attempt, 10th in missed tackles forced. He has 14 runs of 10 plus yards, and he is 9th in PFF's elusive rating. Those last two metrics, he is tied with Ramondre Stevenson over that time, just to put a name in there for some context. And now he goes up against the Chargers, which we know you can run against the Chargers since week 11, 24th in rushing yards per game. Cam Akers is a lock for 70% of the snaps and 20 opportunities in this game. He's an RB2 for me. Strong RB2 with RB1 upside.
Yeah, I like Akers a lot this week, too. I'm with you 100%. I've got him higher than consensus. Give me the third guy you feel good about starting in week 17 for all the marbles.
Tyler Allgeier. I'm going to rank him aggressively. I've got him at RB18. I might even bump him a little bit higher than that because ECR is coming up as well. They have him at RB23, and this all comes down to the fact that Allgeier has been running extremely well, and he has taken over this backfield. You look at Allgeier last week, 59% of the snaps. He had 22 touches, 117 total yards, and with Desmond Ridder under center, he's checking the ball down some. Allgeier had a 54% route run rate, 15% target share, and you can run all over the Arizona Cardinals. Since week 10, they are 22nd in rushing success rate, 27th in EPA per rush, and 28th in yards per carry allowed to running back. So Tyler Allgeier, I put this out in the Twitter space. He's an RB2, but the dude has RB1 upside this week. I think he could crush.
Well, it was our pickup of the week last week, our sleeper pickup of the week this week, and still he might be floating around there in some more shallow leagues. If he is, grab him. Good matchup against Arizona. Let's talk about him, Erickson. What are your thoughts on Tyler Allgeier? Or do you have anything on these other two guys that you think is worthy of bringing up here on the show?
Not me. I love Tyler Allgeier. Talked about him on the Tuesday show. Bold predictions. I was pounding the over on his rushing yards prop, which is probably now up to like 70 and a half yards or something like that. It was at 60 and a half yards, and I talked about it on the show. But he's just so clearly the bell cow over Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, even last week, they were both running behind the same offensive line against the same defensive front in the Ravens. Allgeier was super efficient, and Cordarrelle Patterson was not. And we've seen this exact story play out before, where the Falcons go away from Cordarrelle Patterson as the season kind of trudges on, and they want to feature this rookie player to see, hey, can he be our starting running back in 2023? Let's find out. I was a big fan of Allgeier during the draft process. Took him a little bit of time, but he's finally going here, and I'm excited to see him deliver some league-winning championships.
All right. We're excited about Allgeier. We're excited about Akers. We're excited about Foreman. Derek Brown, who should we not be excited about?
To Erickson's point, his rushing prop has been bet all the way up to 75 and a half, and I still like the over. So, yeah, not just chasing overs here, but the players that I understand at this point in the season, and I preface this because I get that running back is a tough position, and I get there's not a lot of great plays and stuff like that, and we are condensed by injuries and matchups and all these different things. So when I'm telling you, you need to temper your expectations and... what do you need for your championship week? Is it upside? Is it floor? What are you looking at? Who are you playing against? I think you need to temper expectations for David Montgomery. I have him at RB26. ECR has him as a comfortable RB2. I understand the volume. I get all of that. And I understand that Carolina ran all over Detroit. I think we have a large enough sample size that we could say that last week's outcome was an outlier, considering weeks 8 through 15, Detroit was 10th in rushing success rate, 14th in EPA per rush. They allowed the lowest yards per carry in the NFL and the fewest fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. So yes, I'm not just going to dive into one week and say, well, Carolina ran all over them. Chicago's going to try to do it. Are they going to be successful at doing so? So yes, I'm going to fade David Montgomery into the RB3 land. Bye-bye. He's not an RB2 for me. I can't push him that high. But I mean, what are your thoughts on him, Joe?
Look, it would be great to see. Look, Khalil Herbert was eased back in last week, which I think all of us expected, especially with the weather. This is an environment where if you go back and you look at what Khalil Herbert was doing, how he's eating into that workload and, you know, what potentially is there in front of you with the Detroit Lions utter collapse against the run last week. There's a lot of reason to be concerned with Montgomery. I think as a guy that like RB2, low end RB2. Yeah. Like that's fine. ECR at 17 is a little bullish for me. I think that's a little bit too much. Erickson, what are your thoughts on Montgomery too? I'll get your take real quick. Cause this is championship week. This is all hands on deck. I want everybody to talk about everybody and get it all out there.
Yeah, I would say that David Montgomery is probably not going to be the reason you win your championship. I think that he is kind of just a floor play here. I think the thing too important about last week's performance with the Lions defense is Deshaun Elliott didn't play one of their safeties. Mm-hmm. And Joe, as the IDP savant you are, you know Deshaun Elliott racks up a lot of tackles and they use him a lot in the box. So without basically him playing this pseudo linebacker role for the Lions last week, what do you know? They got destroyed by the run. And we've already seen David Montgomery play this Lions defense and get out carried, or he rushed for less yards than Khalil Herbert did. Like, this was the last game we saw Khalil Herbert play was against the Lions. He was more efficient than David Montgomery was. And then he got hurt at the end of that game and then obviously missed, you know, the subsequent weeks to follow. So we've already seen Montgomery pretty much lay an egg against the Lions. So for him to do it again, especially if Deshaun Elliott is back in the lineup, would not be surprising.
Fun fact, as we're talking about RBs, I'm just looking here. 9 of the top 15 guys have Q tags.
That's
fun. I'm just counting them. I was like, boy,
week 17, baby.
Does Saquon Barkley have Q tag? He's good, right?
He might be the one guy who does. No, he doesn't.
Number one.
Great. I'm facing him in the championship. All right, let's get to the other guy who you do not, or even if you do have to start him, you don't feel good about at the very least, Ebro, at RB.
This comes down to the matchup. And I do not love Najee Harris this week. I've got him at RB24. I might bump him down to the RB3 range. He saved his day the last time versus the Ravens with a touchdown. He could do so again. I get that. But we still can't shy away from the matchup. It is horrible. Since week 11, the Ravens have been nasty on run defense. Second in rushing success rate, second in EPA per rush. Yes, these are not good numbers, people. Sixth in fantasy points per game allowed to running backs. If Najee does not get into the end zone this week, you could be crying at the end of week 17 and saying, I wish I had gone with somebody else.
Well, speaking of somebody else, let's play a little game of who should I start, shall we? Of course, you can get the Who Should I Start tool free over at fantasybros.com/start. You can go check it out, plug in the name, see what the ECR says. And we've got one with Najee Harris. Najee Harris against Baltimore, tough matchup, as you're saying. Baltimore Ravens D is very stout. Or Brian Robinson, who has a much more favorable matchup against Cleveland. Andrew Erickson, let's get your take on this one. Najee or B-Rob, who are you starting for the all of the championships?
I'm not as low on Najee Harris as D-Bro is. I'm more in line with ECR, but compared to Brian Robinson, I don't think it's particularly close. I think it is Brian Robinson. Look, this is the awesome matchup that you want for a running back that operates on early downs. Antonio Gibson is playing with an injury. Cleveland, you've been able to run the ball on all year long, and that's all the Washington Commanders want to do. Like, they don't want to have Carson Wentz drop back to throw. They want him to put it in the belly of Brian Robinson 30 times and watch him run over Cleveland Browns linebackers. So, yes, Brian Robinson has to be in your lineup. I'm pretty sure I have him as RB15. Like, he's a must start this week.
D-Bro, your thoughts on Brian Robinson or Najee Harris?
I thought I was high on Ryan Robinson. I am an RB17. Apparently, I needed to get more aggressive. This is 50-50, but I don't look at this as close, guys. Like, I think it's matchup. Mm-hmm. You're looking at similar workloads. I don't think that we see Antonio Gibson play this week. They talk about he's missing practices. He's dealing with a knee injury and a foot injury. Well, actually, it was just described as a sprain, and Washington was like, you just figure out what part of his body is sprained. It's okay. It's okay. But I think Brian Robinson, we could see full, like, bell cow, workhorse, 25 touches, just, I mean, exactly in line with where Erickson is talking about here. So I love Brian Robinson this week, and I will handily play him over Najee Harris.
All right. 50-50 split, by the way, of the experts on this one. I'm with Brian Robinson. I'm playing the matchup against Cleveland. He gets a lot of volume there, too. In the full PPR, I get the Harris thing a little bit more, but I'm going to go with Brian Robinson, too. All right, let's play another one here. Another one of your favorite guys, Tyler Algier against Arizona, or J.K. Dobbins on the other side of that matchup against Pittsburgh. So Dobbins or Algier?
For me, this is Tyler Algier. And again, like, I've got J.K. Dobbins inside my top 24 running backs. But if you're looking at not only the ceiling case for both of these running backs, but the floor case as well, we know that J.K. Dobbins is not going to get any work in the passing game. And last week, we saw what his floor is. Like, he's going to get 12 to 15 carries, and if he doesn't run for, like, 9 yards a carry, he's probably going to end up somewhere like 60 rushing yards. And if he doesn't get in the end zone, again, you're going to be hating life. Whereas Tyler Algier, running routes, getting checkdowns, has a even better matchup. And we could say that you're looking at volume expectations for Algier. The floor is similar, but Algier could get 20 to 25 touches in this game, and I would not be shocked. So, yeah, easy Tyler Algier for me.
Okay, before we move on to the wide receivers, just reminding everybody, if you need more help, the matchup tool, it's out there. It's free for you. Go use it. FantasyBros.com/myplaybook. Again, download the app, sync your leagues. I know you're like, oh, it's week 17. I never did it. Well, this is your last chance. Do it. Let's get all the right guys in our lineup. Use the matchup tool. Again, it is free. FantasyBros.com/myplaybook, or just download the app wherever you get your apps. Let's go to wide receiver here, Erickson. Let's kick things off here. The guys we feel good about at wide receiver for the championship.
DJ Chark. Wide receiver 27 in my rankings. He's ECR wide receiver 35. He led the Lions last week with 108 receiving yards on 4 catches, 5 targets. He caught both of his deep targets from Jared Goff, ran around 83% of the dropbacks. And look, when you're looking at what he's done over his last 3 games, when he didn't play the Jets, he's averaging 100 yards per game, has been a top 24 in each game that he's not faced the Jets in. And what do you know? He's not facing the Jets this week. He's facing the Chicago Bears, who have been horrible since week 6 against wide receivers. 29th in pass defense DVOA, last in yards per catch allowed. So not only are they giving up a lot of yardage, they're giving up yardage in chunks, which is DJ Chark's bread and butter. So sign me up for DJ Chark. Put him in your flex. I think he gives you a lot of upside in the dome matchup where you just want to fire up as many lines as you can against this Bears defense.
Yeah, I love Amon-Ra too in this game as well. It's going to be a good day, hopefully, for indoor cat Jared Goff. We shall see. So Chark is in. Who's next? And your wide receivers here that's going to be in for week 17.
Yeah, I'm going back to Big Blues receivers, going to Richie James here. We saw basically all the Giants receivers kind of pop off a little bit last week against the Minnesota Vikings, and I expect Richie James to kind of lead the pack once again. So last week we saw him lead the Giants in targets, receptions, and receiving yards, 29% target share. He had 8 catches for 90 yards. And I just love him specifically in this matchup against the Indianapolis Colts, who basically since Kenny Morris exited the lineup, which happened in week 13, their slot cornerback, they've just been absolutely decimated by slot wide receivers since week 13. They're allowing almost 33 PPR points per game to just slot wide receivers. So Richie James, who actually leads the team in targets since week 13, he's kind of operating as that wide receiver one for the Giants and Daniel Jones. I think that he's the guy you want here. And basically we've seen this Colts defense basically fall apart since Jeff Saturday took over. Who would have thunk it? Allowing the 5th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers overall. So there's a lot of like for a lot of these Giants wide receivers, but specifically with Richie James in the slot, I think that he can be a top 30 wide receiver this week.
It's interesting that you highlight James, and I understand you're making the point about being in the slot and, you know, obviously the target volume. Hodgins is the guy to me that's really fascinating because having watched, again, I'm in the New York area, so you see a lot of the highlights and a lot of things, but Hodgins also is a guy that came over from Buffalo with Dable. So he kind of knew what he was getting with him, and you're seeing him kind of blossom into this, the touchdown guy. And you know me, in the playoffs, I like touchdowns. So Hodgins is actually a guy I have above Slayton and above Richie James this week. Deeper, I'm curious, how do you rank these wide receivers for the Giants? Because I know they're kind of all getting work, but to me, Hodgins is the guy that I want in my lineup this week. Erickson wants Richie James. Who do you want?
I think you can make a really good case for both of them. I love Hodgins because over the last few weeks, he has been the end zone target guy. Like, he has 100% of their end zone targets over the last 3 to 4 games. But I'm going to side with Erickson here. I think the volume is absolutely for Richie James this week because, yeah, the Colts have been terrible versus slot wide receivers. Like, Julian Blackman cannot guard anybody in the slot. So I'll go with the volume as well as with Richie James. And I'm pulling this up right now. He has red zone targets, and I think it's on 5 of his last 6 games. So the fact that he hasn't scored a touchdown, I think it's coming this week.
Okay. I'm sticking with Hodgins. That's my dude. I like what I see there. All the red zone looks. Confidence with the quarterback in the red zone. Okay, so Richie James in, Chark in. Erickson, give me another guy you feel good about, wide receiver this week.
Wide receiver Romeo Doubs for the Green Bay Packers. So you have him. I have him at wide receiver 40, and he's ECR wide receiver 48. Now, a lot of it does depend on the availability of Christian Watson. Christian Watson got banged up on Christmas, did not play in the second half, despite, you know, having a pretty big involvement in the first half of that game. But he's been listed as day-to-day. He already missed practice on Wednesday, so that's kind of just kind of, it's not painting a pretty picture of his being available, especially considering how banged up he's been like all year long. He's not been one of these receivers that's been able to overcome his injuries, so I'm not expecting him to play here, and that's why you should be excited about playing Romeo Doubs. Like, he's playing the Minnesota Vikings, who just bleed fantasy points to wide receivers, most points allowed to wide receivers since week 6, and it's just all of them. It's most to perimeter receivers, most to slot receivers. It doesn't matter where they line up. It's just they're just giving up fantasy points like as much as they can. And Doubs has a 30% target rate per route run over the last 2 weeks since he came back. So he has not had that full-time role quite yet because he's been playing behind Christian Watson. But when he's been on the field running routes, Aaron Rodgers is hyper-targeting Romeo Doubs. So I expect him to have a full-time role if Watson is out alongside Alan Lazard. And I expect him to honestly probably out target Lazard because we've seen so much from Lazard where everyone has to be hurt for him to really get targets. And if Doubs is upright, I think that he can deliver.
Well, I mean, earlier in the year, Romeo Doubs, when he was playing, I mean, maybe you could say he was still kind of getting his feet under him in the NFL. That's fair. But Lazard was the early target guy. And then obviously it moved to Doubs for a short window. He got hurt. And then Christian Watson kind of blossomed into this star. But I'd be very surprised if Watson plays this week. I'm not putting my eggs into that basket. Let's take a quick break in the action and say about Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and auctions at pristineauction.com. Start at just $1 and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available so you can win signed, authentic, signatured items at affordable prices. And they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and many more. Every item on Pristine Auction comes with a certification of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators, and you can upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item when you use that promo code FANTASY. That's one word, FANTASY. Be sure to sign up now at pristineauction.com/register. That's pristineauction.com/register and use the promo code FANTASY because deals like this are happening every single day. Once again, that's promo code FANTASY for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at pristineauction.com/register. And now back to the action. All right, who do we want to take out of the basket this week, or at least consider doing so, wide receiver Erickson?
I'm looking at Terry McLaurin here. So the quarterback switch should not be ignored. Like, it matters significantly because Terry McLaurin with Taylor Heinicke weeks 7 through 15, 30% target share. With Carson Wentz weeks 1 through 6, 16% target share. That's half. Like, that's almost half of his targets are being because of the quarterback change. So you're not going to see nearly as much volume from McLaurin. And we saw it just last week. Carson Wentz came into the game in the second half. He threw the ball to McLaurin once. He threw it to Curtis Samuel 3 times. He threw it to Logan Thomas 6 times. And Curtis Samuel was the one that actually was Carson Wentz's favorite target to start the year with a 22% target share. And that wasn't even with Jahan Dotson fully healthy for all of those games. So I think McLaurin, you are walking a very, you know, the tightrope you're walking with McLaurin, I think, is very concerning because look at this game plan. Are the Browns going, or excuse me, are the Commanders going to come in to play Cleveland and be like, all right, well, we want to dial up big passing attempts for Carson Wentz to deliver downfield to McLaurin? No, like they're going to want to run the football with Brian Robinson. So there's not going to be a lot of volume. McLaurin has to be efficient on a limited target. So I'm not excited to play him. I don't think he has a lot of upside in this particular matchup because, yes, the Browns have been better against receivers, not really because they're a great defense, but it's because it's so easy to run the football on them. And I believe and I expect that's what the Washington Commanders offensive game plan is going to be.
Okay, fair enough here. Give me one more guy here that's also walking the tightrope, perhaps without a net.
Yep, so we're, you know, wrapping the bow on these Giants wide receivers, so I figure we should talk about all of them. So I have Darius Slayton ranked the lowest out of the three guys. So I think that we kind of hit on Richie James is going to be the volume guy, Hodgins has the touchdowns, and Darius Slayton is kind of left holding the bag, being like, well, I run the most routes, but besides that, like,
well,
I don't
know. Is he going to pick up the number one corner too, Darius Slayton, from the primer? Who picks up Gilmore? That's the question.
Gilmore hasn't been shadowing, but if anybody was going to catch a shadow from Gilmore, I think it'd be Slayton.
That would be my guess too, which is also another reason. Go ahead, Erickson, continue on with that.
Yeah. So just kind of looking at the recent use, I mean, we've seen guys like Hodgins and Richie James more involved. Like during the middle part of the season, Darius Slayton was really the only show in town. Like he was the only one that was commanding any sort of targets. But since week 13, you know, he has less targets than both Isaiah Hodgins and Richie James. And he has scored less fantasy points. So although he is running the most routes on the team, when those other guys are on the field, like Daniel Jones is targeting them more and they're being more productive with the targets that they are getting. And when you look at Indianapolis, they've been very strong against number two receivers, allowing the third fewest yards per game. Look, we saw Keenan Allen have a massive game against the Chargers. Mike Williams was kind of quiet. So with Darius Slayton not really being that number one guy, I just don't think that this is really a big spot for him. And I would really much rather prefer both other Giants receivers that we talked about already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I want to go back again, because I know we already talked about the Giants guys. Debra, I want to get your take on the Green Bay situation too with Romeo Doubs and Lazard. Do you favor one of those two guys this week? If you have, let's say, both of them and you can only have one spot to start them.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would favor Doubs here. Considering with, and this also leans itself to, if Christian Watson is out, I think in deeper formats, if we're going to go deeper for people, Randall Cobb is in play too. Like Chandon Sullivan in the slot has not been good. You look at Cobb's metrics this year, he has quietly been very, very efficient. His yards per route run, his PFF receiving grade are both really, really strong this year. He would be thrust into a full-time role. Like they don't have, like they're thin at wide receiver. So looking at just this depth chart overall, I think if Watson is out, yeah, I like Doubs over Lazard because Aaron Rodgers, now I get it. He's seemed like he's been reading from a different book. He's been on a different page than everybody else this entire season. Been Lazard over. That God, that got me. That is Aaron Rodgers. I got to get back on this. Aaron Rodgers has not been on the same page as Alan Lazard.
To Major Rodgers. Playbooks open.
I can't, man.
Throw your bomb.
I can't.
No, go ahead.
That's it. That's all I got. That's all I got.
Okay, good. All right, let's play a little. Who should I start at wide receiver then? DJ Moore against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out of the playoffs. I don't want to see them. I want them to just go home. I'm sick and tired of them. That's just personal. DJ Moore or Juju Smith-Schuster against the Denver Broncos, having fired their coach. Who knows? Maybe you get that little rally game. Derek Brown, what are your thoughts on these two guys? Who do you want to start, DJ Moore or Juju Smith-Schuster?
I am going to go with DJ Moore on this one. I think we've seen enough out of him and Sammy D that he's going to get enough targets, man. He's basically been, whenever they connect, he's getting all the targets, all the air yard share. He has been a top 20 wide receiver whenever they actually hook up on targets. So yeah, I'm going to roll with DJ Moore. Let's ride the lightning.
Last week, I told everybody he was going to be a top 10 wide receiver. Number 9, DJ Moore. That's right. I'm going DJ Moore too. You want to sweep it here, Erickson? What do you want to do?
He was wide receiver 8 the last time he played the Bucs. So
let's go. DJ Moore.
Let's go. All right, let's do it. All right, let's do another one here. By the way, 60% of experts agree with us. DJ Moore over Juju Smith-Schuster. Let's do another two guys very close in ECR. Deontay Johnson against the Baltimore Ravens, Mr. 10 points himself, 10 points in a cloud of dust, or Zay Jones against the Houston Texans. I don't know about you, Erickson. I'm taking Zay Jones. Zay Jones had a very good season. I can't wait. I want them to re-sign Evan Engram. I want the Jags to just plug Calvin Ridley back in. I want Kirk in the slot. And next thing we know, my goodness, the Jags are kind of an exciting offense in fantasy next year. So, but right now, it's still week 17. Who do you want? You want Zay Jones or do you want Deontay Johnson?
This one's so easy. I want Zay Jones. I want the upside in my lap. I know, like, you know, the Texans, they'll give up points to receivers, whatever. It's because they give up points to running backs. But Deontay Johnson, I've seen this story play out when Kenny Pickett's quarterback. Like, he doesn't finish better than wide receiver 37. Like, so if I want like 6 points, lock it in. Okay, sure. Like Deontay Johnson. But Zay Jones, we've seen be a top 10 wide receiver in 3 of his last 5 games. So I want that in my championship lineup and not Deontay Johnson.
Who has more touchdowns this year in the NFL, me or Deontay Johnson?
It's equal.
The question is, the answer is it's a tie. It's a tie.
he still has 0 touchdowns. Oh man. 0 touchdowns.
And look, wouldn't that be just end all if he gets his touchdown, the one touchdown he gets all year is in the fantasy championships and people say to him. I mean, it feels like it's right there to just punch it right in the crotch. But I'm telling you right now, like you can't go there. And it's funny because this is I did this one here because it's 50-50 split in the ECR, which to me, I don't get. It's Zay Jones for me. It's Zay Jones for Erickson. Is it Zay Jones for you, D-Bro?
Zay Jones is my highest ranking Jaguars wide receiver this week. Zay Jones as a top 20 wide receiver. He is going to destroy the Houston Texans. And we've talked about this in numerous weeks, Scott. Like Deontay Johnson, there is no wide receiver in the NFL that does little with more. Like, he gets tons of targets. He gets tons of red zone work, deep targets. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been like, let's force feed this dude. And Deontay Johnson's like, I still don't want any touchdowns. Nah, I don't want a 100-yard day. I don't want any of that, man. There's no way. He's a wide receiver 4. How is this close? I don't understand it.
I don't know. Here's a question for you. Would you start Gabe Davis or him?
Gabe Davis.
Same thing for you, Erickson?
Yeah, I think Gabe Davis has similar upside like a Zay Jones, whereas Deontay Johnson doesn't have upside. We've been over this.
No, it certainly does not. All right. Before we move on to the quarterbacks, don't forget, everybody, our Discord still has the touchdown call contest. You got 2 more weeks to win $25 to our Fantasy Pro shop. Join our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. Upgrade, fantasypros.com/offers, and you can win yourself some money and have some fun. Maybe you got eliminated from the playoffs and you want some action. You want to have a little good time. Call some touchdowns with us. It's a good time. The touchdown call channel on our Discord. Plus, Discord is just great. We had a great stages last night. Bogman and I, our last Wednesday night stages after dark. I gave Bogman his Christmas present live on the spot there. I made him open it. I got him the, the picture from the painting from Goodfellas that the mom made. With the one dog facing one way and the other dog facing the other way. And the guy with the gray hair, what do you want from me? I got him that. And now he gets to hang it in his house. So
I have seen that movie, by the way, Joe, just to throw
that
out there.
Okay. Yeah, Godfather, January. Okay. That's you. Okay. That's just, what you have to saying. Do. I will just watch saying. Friday. These are the things we have to do. All right. Let's continue on here with the quarterbacks. Geno Smith getting Tyler Lockett back, but he also gets the New York Jets. Gardner Minshew most likely to start. It seems like things are going in that direction. So this is tough because Geno has not been great. He's kind of turned into a pumpkin, which is not surprising. Losing Lockett certainly didn't help. The schedule against the 49ers and some of the other opponents didn't help. Although some of these matchups, they should have played better than they did. So Erickson, when you're looking at Geno or Minshew, who do you want to put the hands in? Who do you want to put your fantasy championship in the hands of? Which one, Smith or Minshew?
I'm playing Gardner Minshew. That he has better weapons overall across the board and the Eagles. And no, Lane Johnson's not going to play in this game, but the Saints can't generate pass rush. So like, I don't think it really necessarily matters for them. And I just don't think that the Saints perimeter cornerbacks, like I don't think Marshon Lattimore is coming back like at all this year. Maybe D-Bro can reflect some light on that, but I don't think that these Saints corners can hang with AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. Like, and that means Mitch is going to get one-on-one looks and he's going to score fantasy points. He runs, they use the QB sneak with him. Miles Sanders fumbled last week. Like, are they going to be as aggressive running the football against a tougher, you know, Saints run defense versus their secondary? So Minshew and Geno Smith playing the Jets. Like, don't play quarterbacks against the Jets. Like, how many times do we have to do this? Like, don't play.
I agree. I'm with you, dude. How about for you here, Gardner Minshew or Geno, D-Bro?
This one was close, and the Saints have been good versus opposing quarterbacks. I think I'm going to lean with Minshew, though. I mean, the problem is that, look, whether Tyler Lockett, and Seattle's talking about Tyler Lockett's going to be back this week. He caught a few balls in practice. Like, I don't know if that's a definitive. And
he
if
broke
we
his
all
finger. Like,
I mean,
yeah, honestly,
like
I can't put my hopes and dreams on that. Like, I think that's a terrible idea.
And I mean, they're also like Seattle's offense is banged up. Like Kenneth Walker is playing through injury. DK Metcalf is basically all they have, which it's like we saw them shut down Justin Jefferson. Like they put a safety over the top on him. So I'm worried about the chef this week. So yeah, I'd be starting Gardner Minshew over Chef Geno. And I'll throw another name in here. I know he's not on the show sheet.
I wanted to throw another name, but I'm curious if it's the same name. I want to
throw another name.
No,
Let's throw some other names.
All right. What's the name you want to throw in?
The God, the man himself, Magic Mike. He's
yes,
back,
that's
baby.
The name I want. Is that the name you wanted, Erickson?
No, I mean, I would start him though over Geno Smith.
Would you start him over Minshew? That's my question. Magic Mike White against Seattle. I would start
Tom Brady over Geno Smith.
Wow.
Okay. I don't think that's a hot take. Jets defense is good. And the Jets, you know, the Jets confidence level with Magic Mike White under center is a totally different. It's a totally different team on the field to watch. And Zonovan Knight all of a sudden becomes interesting again, too. Mm-hmm. Zonovan Knight with Zach Wilson for those last 2 weeks was horrible. You go back, he's going to be double digits again. I'm telling you right now, everybody, he is a flex play. He's in play against Seattle, especially. Okay. I can't wait to talk about him on the DFS show tomorrow, which, by the way, is going to be early. It's a 1 o'clock start, not 2 o'clock start on Twitter if you want to watch it live. Let's go to another QB situation. I mean, this is the ugliest I've ever seen Superflex get this year. Like, it has gotten so bad as we've gone on. I mean, between, you know, some of these names popping up here at the end, too, and these replacements and guys getting benched. It's just been insane. And now we got Stidham over Carr. Can you imagine the people who lost Carr this week going, what? What? I mean, not that it's been good anyway, but still. All right. So here we are. This is where we're at. Baker Mayfield or Andy Dalton. Derek Brown. Who would you rather start?
I'm going to go Baker. The Saints do not want Dalton to throw the ball. I mean, you have to go all the way back to week 8.
I don't
want
Dalton to throw the
ball. I'll preface this. Dalton has actually been, if you look at his metrics, he's been really good this year, but the Saints do not want him to throw the ball. You have to go all the way back to week 8 to find a game where he's thrown the ball 30 times. I mean, the Rams put up a 50 burger last week. I'm going with Mayfield, man.
It is a home game for them, even though they're playing at the Chargers, air quotes. look, I mean, they're playing with house money. They've got nothing to lose. I mean, Erickson, I kind of where D-Bro is here. I say Baker Mayfield. What do you say?
I'm not falling for this Baker Mayfield trap because they destroyed a team that wasn't trying. Like that's why he's being inflamed. Like, oh, like the Rams are back. Like, oh, they're back. It's like, no, they were playing a team that literally quit after the first quarter. So I'm going to look at Baker Mayfield's season-long numbers and be like, he has sucked all year long. I don't care that he broke Kurt Warner's completion record or whatever in one game against a team that wasn't trying. So I'm going with Andy Dalton, who's been a better quarterback all year long versus just last week, where he was playing under blizzard conditions in freezing cold, where Baker Mayfield was playing against a JV squad. So I'm going to go with Dalton.
All right. Fair enough. By the way, 70% of experts say Baker Mayfield, Andy Dalton. 70% say Geno over Minshew. But again, I think that's also waiting for definitive Jalen Hurts news. And Jalen Hurts is not playing. That would be shocking to me if he played, because there's really nothing for them to play for this week. I don't think it's.
Well, they have to win at least one of their next two games.
They do. But at the end of the day, they have to get Jalen Hurts healthy if they're going to win a Super Bowl.
I mean, that's
the most important thing. Like, I know the bye is important. Home field advantage is important. All those things, yes, are important.
It comes down, but they don't need Jalen Hurts to win that game. So I agree. I don't think we see Jalen Hurts this week.
All right. And you don't want Jalen Hurts getting worse, because then you really got a problem. So, all right, let's go to the tight end streamers. Oh, the wasteland that is tight end. We finally made it all the way here. Erickson, who do you want to stream at tight end this week?
I'm going back to this Jets-Seahawks game, going with Tyler Conklin. So he's ECR tight end 19. I have him as tight end 15. Look, Seattle gives up the most fantasy points to tight end. So the matchup is there. It's between the Seahawks, Cardinals, and Dolphins. Like, just playing the tight end against one of those three teams is usually a strategy that works out more often than it doesn't. And we saw good usage from Conklin last week, 73% route participation, 71% snap share. He caught all four of his targets for 34 yards. And look, in two games that Mike White started, he saw at least 7 targets. So really, it's Mike White getting the quarterback upgrade. The matchup is there. And he is the starting tight end that has good uses. He's running a lot of routes. So I think you could do worse than Tyler Conklin.
Okay. D-Bro, who's your streaming tight end for week 17?
I was really surprised, and I had to wedge him in here, guys. Like, I know he's probably not out there on the waiver wires and stuff like that, but if you've got Cole Kmet, you need to be starting him. He's a top 12 tight end for me this week. I was surprised to see that ECR had him at tight end 14. I've got him inside my top 10 tight ends. I get it that he's
rostered in just 63% of leagues in sleeper. So
that's crazy. Like, I understand he's cooled off as of late, like one top 12 finish over his last five games, but still.
Well, Detroit, that's the thing. Yeah.
Detroit has not been good covering tight ends. 26 in DVOA, they're allowing, they're top 10 in yards per reception, fantasy points per game, and catch rate allowed to tight ends. The wide receivers are all banged up for Chicago. Well, we're going to get to one, and I agree with Erickson on him later, but I still think Cole Kmet's going to challenge him for the lead team leading targets this week. So give me Cole Kmet.
All right, let's play a little who should I start at tight end? David Njoku against the Washington Commanders or Dawson Knox in a big total, big money game Monday night. D-Bro, who do you want? Dawson Knox against the Bengals or David Njoku against the Washington Commanders?
Knox is on a heater, man, but I'm going to go with David Njoku here. And the reason I'm going with David Njoku, because his red zone usage over the last few weeks has been insane. He has 8 red zone targets over his last 3 games. So I think if we're looking just in the sense of like touchdowns, you talked about it, Joe, that I am going to lean with David Njoku here. Although I like both of them. Like, I have Knox inside my top 12.
You want to talk about heater? He's got 3 touchdowns in 3 games. I'm going with Dawson Knox here. Yep. I love you, D, but I cannot put my fantasy championship hopes and dreams in the hands of Deshaun Watson right now. For better or worse, I'm going to try with Josh Allen. I'm going to try in that game with a big total and hope that we get, you know, that total. Like, if that game underwhelms, that is going to be crushing to fantasy teams because there's so many fantasy-worthy championship guys between Mixon, Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Allen, Knox, Diggs. I mean, it's crazy how many like big time fantasy guys are in this one game on Monday night. We're all gonna be watching it for fantasy champions. That never happens. It's always an underwhelming, stupid game where it's gonna be like, oh, it's the Carolina Panthers taking on, you know, I can't even say the Panthers anymore because they're actually, you know, fighting for
winning games.
But you know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's the Panthers and Commanders. Oh, great. Well, that's not real. Nobody cares, but we're all gonna care on Monday night, which is cool. I'm Knox. He's Njoku. Who are you, Erickson?
Yeah, Diggs is obviously going to go off on Monday night because anyone that had him on their team did not make it to the next round because of how bad he played last week. Probably, he got no targets. So he's inevitably going to go off. But I side on the Dawson Knox here as well. I think the Njoku red zone stats, like, yeah, it's super enticing. Like, all right, like he's getting the usage, but Knox is the one that's actually converting. Like, he's the one that's actually scoring the touchdowns at the end of the day. And I'm like, okay, which team's going to score more touchdowns? Like, it's going to be the Bills. Like, they're going to score more points than the Cleveland Browns will. And Washington, before last week, before they got destroyed by George Kittle, they're really good against tight ends for the most part. So looking at the Bengals, they've allowed the second most targets to tight ends since week 9. Knox and I think Njoku have very similar roles. They're both on the field on every single down. So I'm going to stay in the heater here with Dawson Knox.
All right. It's that time. It's the sleeper starts and sits of the week. For the trophy. I'm so excited about this.
Starts and sits of the week.
The starts of the week for me, let's start with James Conner, the volume king. I'm giving you two guys because I'm like the giving.
Where's the crown? Where's the crown? Giving.
Oh, here. Crown's here. Okay, here
the
we
king.
Go.
There we go.
I am the king. There the we king's go. Returned. I am a benevolent dictator. That's what I am. So here we go. Let's start off with James Conner, the king of volume. Get him in your lineups. Don't overthink this. I just said, all right, 9 out of the top 15 RBs have Q tags. James Conner doesn't. Let's go. Let's play some James Conner this week.
Play him.
And the other guy that I want people to get back in their lineups is Zonovan Knight. And I know that's a tough sell because I know a lot of people probably are out who started him last week against Jacksonville. But if you're still alive and he's there and you're looking for a flex play against the Seattle Seahawks, this is a really good play. And Mike White's going to move the football. He is going to be back into that 12 to 15 point range. I want him back in my lineup. So those are the guys I'm starting this week. D-Bro, who are you starting this week?
I made the case for him earlier, so I'm just going to keep this short. Tyler Allgeier. I think he has already one upside this week. I think he absolutely crushes. If you're looking at a way where your matchup to win your matchup in the flex, it's Tyler Allgeier, baby.
Erickson.
Cam Akers. Come full circle from week 1.
We sure have.
Where he was
let's go.
Basically left for dead. Didn't even barely played. And now he's gonna win leagues here.
Yes, I'd love to see the numbers love on it. How many different transactions there have been this year on Cam Akers. I bet it's fast between starts and sits and adds and drops of Cam Akers this year. I wonder if he's been added and dropped more than any other player. I bet he has. I bet he's in the top 10. Think about it. think about all the cycle we've been through. Some of those players that have been, you pick them up and it doesn't go well and you drop them back and you pick them up. I mean, he's got to be
Ready for the offseason talk again. I'm ready for the, buy into Cam Akers and we fade him again?
It's too soon
that's,
for that.
That's going to be all offseason, man.
We're still in season. Sits of the week. Come close to the fire, boys and girls. Uncle Joe's going to tell you a story about the Las Vegas Raiders. Okay? You're moving to Jarrett Stidham against the San Francisco 49ers. I know the last couple of weeks with Davante Adams, if you're somehow still alive in championship week with the way Davante Adams has played in the last couple of weeks, you don't need Davante Adams, okay? Bench him. Bench him. I'm telling you right now, the chances of him having a great game here with Jarrett Stidham is low. I saw the post press conference, whatever, after this decision was made, and Davante Adams looked like someone ran over his dog. He was upset. He was not feeling it. He is not happy. This thing is imploding. And that matters, okay? It matters. The feel and downward trajectory of a team matters. And I know we say start your studs, but your studs aren't your studs when they're playing with backup or third string quarterbacks, okay? They're not the same players necessarily. It depends on who those quarterbacks are. Jarrett Stidham is not great. I'm a Patriots fan. I watch enough Jarrett Stidham. I watched him in college. I'm telling you right now, against the 49ers, this is tenuous. And Josh Jacobs is tenuous too. Because Josh Jacobs now, you look at it, he's getting all the volume in the world. But do you see Josh Jacobs getting a lot of goal line work in this game where Jarrett Stidham is having 60, 70-yard drives down the field? Because I don't. And then do you see him ripping off big runs, Josh Jacobs, against the number one defense, against the run? I don't. So I'm not saying you sit Josh Jacobs, but I'm saying if it's Brian Robinson or Josh Jacobs, or some of these other guys are out, like, these guys that have good matchups, I want my 15 points. I'm concerned about Jacobs, but I am sitting Davante Adams
Joe,
this week.
Joe, I have there a question for. I have a follow-up question.
Yes, the king will now hear Andrew Erickson.
So are you? So you're under the impression that so Adams and Jacobs are going to still play their same roles? Because I know that the report said that they were going to rest other key starters.
I know other key veterans.
So like, that's what I'm curious.
That.
So like,
that also terrifies the crap out of me.
Okay,
now, so I don't know if that necessarily means Jake. Look, here's my only thought with that. Jacobs, they don't care because Jacobs, they're not re-signing anyway. Mm-hmm. They have no money because they're not going to re-sign him. So they can burn him. Adams, because they have money invested in him, I think he's going to play. But I'm telling you, Davante Adams, I mean, he looked like the kid who did not get the Nintendo for Christmas in 1985. Like, he looked miserable. And that stuff carries over. I'm sorry. It just does. And against the 49ers, who have a lot to play for here, they kind of, I think the 49ers realize, like, they're in a good spot. They need to keep going forward here. We always say start your best players. Jacobs, Adams, the guys that got you there. But the whole calculus has changed now with the Raiders. And I'm not trying to get people to overthink this. I'm telling people right now, if you've got better options, look to the better options. Because those better options, look to who can get you 15 points. Because if you think Adams hasn't gotten you 15 points in 3 weeks. Josh Jacobs, last 2 weeks, has not been great either. And the 49ers defense is for real. So that is my big monologue. The king has spoken. Andrew Erickson. Now I would like you to take the floor and give me somebody you want to sit instead.
Devin Singletary for the Buffalo Bills. I think that obviously massive game last week. Him and James Cook both were really productive against the Bears. They're not playing the Bears this week. They're playing the Bengals. significantly, couldn't be two different defenses. Like, the Bengals defense is really good. Like, the Bengals are actually a legit better team than they were last year. And I don't think enough people are actually talking about
that. I still think
the
Bengals are going back to the Super Bowl, boys. It's a bet that I've already made.
Yeah, so I mean, they're seventh in run defense DVOA since DJ Reader came back 5 weeks ago, fifth in fewest fantasy points per game, third in fewest rushing yards allowed to running backs over that time. And look, the Bills are very particular when they decide to run the football. Like last week, bad weather against the horrible Bears defense. Yeah, we're going to run the ball. But in a game like, this is going to be a shootout against a high-powered Bengals offense and a good run defense, they're going to be like, screw the running game. Like, throw the ball at Josh Allen 40 times, let him run the football. So I would not go chasing the Bills running back's points from last week in a much different matchup in a different scenario.
All right, D-Bro, who do you want to sit this week in week 17?
I love all those calls, by the way. I think the Raiders are a hot freaking mess. Devin Singletary
I can't do
could
it, man.
Get...
The flag football coach in me just refuses. I'm telling you, I've seen teams implode. I've watched it happen. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old, 12 years old, or 28 years old. It matters when these things happen.
You want to talk about coaches
they could get
that
shut
should
out.
Be...
D-Bro, they could get shut out in this game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about coaches that should be one and done that are not? McDaniels has to be top of that list. That's quitting on him. But moving off of McDaniels, I'm going to go with a guy that I think a lot of people are going to have as like a wide receiver two in their lineups. And I understand it. But I think that you could look to a lot of other guys that have better matchups. And I'm willing to sit Christian Kirk this week. You look at the Houston Texans since week 11, 11th fewest fantasy points to opposing slot wide receivers. I've talked about how high I am on Zay Jones. I think Evan Ingram is stepping into an elite tier of tight ends. That dude has been matchup proof. He has been amazing. Like, Doug Peterson has basically just said, look, you're athletic as hell. Just run crossers and run away from everybody. So I think if you're looking at the two like guys that are going to get ton of targets in this game, it's going to be Ingram and it's going to be Zay Jones. And I think Christian Kirk is going to be left on the outside looking in. And I really don't think that people give enough respect to how good Tavarius Thomas is in the slot. That dude was one of the best slot corners in the entire NFL. And then he was parked on the bench for weeks and weeks and weeks until Derek Stingley went out. Thomas, since he's been back in the lineup, 55% catch rate, 66 passer rating allowed. He is legit. You need to consider sitting Christian Kirk.
All right, flex appeal for the big championship.
Flex appeal.
Jahan Dotson. I don't care if it's Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was good with him the first couple weeks of the season, and the guy's got massive touchdown equity. That's what he brings to the table, and I'm with D-Bro. No, I don't think they're going to be throwing the ball real deep, but I do think you'll have a little intermediate stuff and a little red zone work, and that's enough for Jahan Dotson to start this week. And another one, I'm giving you two. It's the twofer because it's championship week. I got another one for you. It's Isaiah Hodgins. I'm telling you right now, the guy has been on a heater. The guy is emerging as the big money wide receiver in this offense. It is a good matchup, especially, you know, with Slayton drawing the number one coverage. I like Hodgins this week. D-Bro, you've got another Giants wide receiver that you want to have flex appeal this week.
I'm going to go right back to what Erickson was talking about. Richie James, baby. I have him as, let me pull up my ranks real fast.
You know what I love about this show? All three of us go off on our own. And then we do all the work all week. And then we come here. And it's amazing how often we have a consensus, which is really great. And it's been such a fun season to do this show with you guys. And I'm excited to win some people some championships. What do you got, D? What do you got?
I have Erickson. So remind me, where do you have Richie James? Did you say like what top 36 wide receiver? Where's he at in your ranks?
Wide receiver 31.
I have him at wide receiver 32, baby. Holding hands. Okay. Love Richie James this week. And if we're going to go for a twofer, since we're doing twofers today, Joe.
I'm doing twofers. You don't have to, but I'm doing them.
Going back to that high total game, I think that Tyler Boyd could be the chess piece for the Cincinnati Bengals this week. The best cornerback matchup on the board. I understand Boyd has not done much of anything this year, but I think this could be a massive game for him. Teron Johnson has been terrible. High total. Burrow's going to be tossing the rock. I think Tyler Boyd could explode with a really big game this week.
I hope he does, because I'm playing Chase in two championships, so I'm playing against him. So I want all the Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins touchdowns. That's what I'm looking for. All right, Erickson, wrap it up here. Who is your favorite flex appeal guy for the week?
Look, I'll keep the analysis brief here. Lions are horrible, horrible against slot receivers. Chase Claypool is still not practicing, so Bears pseudo number one wide receiver becomes Dante Pettis for that reason. So. Yeah, the matchup is there. He scored a touchdown last week. I expect there to be fireworks in this game. Bears, Lions, like you want parts of this game. It's in a dome, high total. Lions are going to put up points. Bears are going to be behind, going to have to throw. So I think that Dante Pettis is really interesting.
All right, listener mailbag. And this is from JP27Houday. Of course, this is straight from our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. Free to join. Premium membership gets you access to stages, AMAs, and a whole lot more. Do it next year if you didn't do it this year. I'm telling you, good things happen. A lot of people in the chats because a lot of people are in championships. Start two, full PPR. Terry McLaurin, Montgomery, DJ Moore. D-Bro, who do you want to start out of these three? DJ Moore is definitely in for me. So yes. It just becomes who the other one is. I think it's Montgomery. You just take the touches. What do you think?
Yep, I agree with you. I've got McLaurin in the wide receiver three range this week, so definitely lower than ECR. For everything we've said already, I think that the targets are not going to be there for him. The Cleveland Browns have been good versus opposing wide receivers. So I'll take the volume in Montgomery, even though I poo-pooed him at the top of the show. He could have a bad game. If he gets into the end zone, he's still going to pay off. So yeah, give me Moore and give me Montgomery here.
All right. Erickson, what are your thoughts here? McLaurin, Montgomery, Moore. You get two.
Yep. Moore and Montgomery for me.
Okay. There you have it. All right, everybody. Look, you had a great season. This is at the end. It's time to get the job done. This is your pep talk from the king. and my boys here, Erickson and Debro. And again, thank you everybody for listening all year long. We'll still be around doing other shows in January. Don't worry, we're not disappearing on you, but the Dynasty Pod is going to start up soon too, which is a great listen. Don't forget about the Dynasty Podcast, because that show, you see all the rookies have an impact this year. You think, oh, I don't play Dynasty. Why am I listening to that? That's why you listen to that show. So you know those guys for your redraft leagues too, because the analysis on there is fantastic with Bogman and Pat Fitzmaurice. So that is something to definitely keep an eye on. And hopefully everybody goes out there, wins those championships, brings those trophies home. So we're rooting for you. That's what we're doing. We're all rooting for you out there. So have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. Enjoy those championships. I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, and that's Pristine Auction. Head over to pristineauction.com/register and use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at Pristine Auction. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com/register, promo code FANTASY. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.